It's 9 in the morning, which means you're listening to You Like That Radio on Thursday morning at 9. It's 9:17 now. With me as always is Tristan Boyce.
Hey guys, and I know this is You Like That Sports Radio, but I'm going to be honest. I've been in meetings all week. So here's literally everything I know about sports since the last time we talked last Thursday. The Cavs, by some act of God, have not been eliminated yet. And the Rockies beat the Yankees at home, so F the Yankees. That's all I know.
We are 18 seconds into our show today, and we've already hated on Yankee fans. Yeah, the Cavs are still with us, and I think it is an act of God, but remember, God hates Cleveland. So
he's just playing with them a little
bit. So they're either going to lose in Game 6 in front of the home crowd, like they're in Cleveland, and everyone's just going to be disappointed, or they're going to win, force a Game 7, rekindle the Cleveland fans' hope, and then lose by 35 in Golden State.
Oh, no, if this goes to 7 in Game 7 at Oracle Arena, they're not sniffing that game. Curry and Thompson are going to combine for like 120 points. Like, Kyrie and LeBron combined for 82 points, right? 41 points apiece, and they were personally responsible for like 92 of the points.
They contributed to like 90 points of the 110 or something.
But,
like that.
Yeah, that if it goes to 7 at Oracle, there's...
I don't think it's going to get to 7, except that Cleveland really is cursed. And I don't completely understand luck and curses in sports, but I know that that is one of them. It's
like the biggest remaining one. I think... No, I'm going to give you my official prediction. So Cleveland sneaks out a win tonight. Like...
For the sake of making things interesting.
Let's say like 110 to 108 at home. LeBron, or probably Kyrie, because he's at... You know what? Kevin Love hits a clutch three-pointer to seal it, because everybody's just been hating on Kevin Love this last week. To force a Game 7. Game 7, Oracle Arena, final score. Warriors win 121-84. It's not even going to be pretty.
It's not even hard to picture, though.
Exactly.
It's not inconceivable. It's so easy to be like, yeah, that would happen. Yeah, Kevin Love, he's been getting a bunch of cred this offseason for all of a sudden, like, growing soft or regressing, or, like, is he injured or something like that. And I just want to yell at people like, no, he just doesn't play for the worst team in the league anymore. Like he didn't in Minnesota.
When he was able to get like a 20-20 every night because he had nobody around.
I'm obviously bitter about that because Minnesota was the worst shooting team in the league that year. And he beat out LaMarcus Aldridge for an all-star spot. yeah. Ooh, 20 rebounds a game. But your team averages like 60 a game because you only shoot like
30%. Because you average like 70 points a game.
Oh, that was so funny. Yeah, I don't think he's really regressing all that much. He's just not on the level of LeBron or Kyrie, and he's never going to be, even if he is in the State Farm commercials as a prepubescent teenager.
Which are hilarious. No good Clippers. No
dropping
good
dimes,
Clippers.
Dropping dimes, dropping dimes. Oh, my gosh. Remember when State Farm commercials sucked to watch?
Mama ain't got no rings.
Mama ain't
got
no rings. I want a ring. It provided me with endless screenshots to send to the group chat during the playoff run this year for Trailblazers. Yeah, so Cleveland is still with us, but they're just going to lose in the most Cleveland way possible.
And you know what? If they prove me wrong and they win tonight and they win Game 7 in Oakland, that's all I've got for that. Like, good on you.
If you didn't see this, I don't know if you saw this news. You said you were busy this week. We got to catch Tristan up on all of our sports goings on. There's talks of a Jimmy Butler, Andrew Wiggins, shift
with Minnesota's 5 pick.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's Minnesota thinking about it or if it's the Bulls like, we will not even consider a trade unless Andrew Wiggins is on the table. What I don't know if you're Minnesota. Do you keep the 5 pick and try to build around Andrew Wiggins, or do you make that trade?
I think you try to build around Wiggins. Butler, here's the thing. So I'm a Lakers fan. if the Lakers were somehow able to swing a trade for Butler and put him at the two guard spot where we might be a little weak, I'd say go for it. But Minnesota's got this super young core that's super exciting to watch, and in like 3 years are going to be Western Conference Finals contenders. If they can just keep building a little, they don't even need, like, they don't need a starter with the number five pick. They need, like, a sixth man off the bench kind of guy, which they could get out of the number five pick, like a lottery guy that's coming off the bench for 20 minutes a game. They could build with that. I don't think they need to sell the farm for Jimmy Butler. And I don't know. It just seems like Jimmy's kind of had a down year, and he's ready to get out. The whole thing with Derrick Rose being in Chicago, he wants to be the star. That's the other thing. He wants to be the star of the team. But if you go to Minnesota with the Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine hype train.
Zach LaVine's the star of that team.
Zach LaVine should be the star of the entire Zach LaVine National might Basketball be Association.
My favorite non-trailblazer in the league.
I'm a big fan of Greek Freak.
Yeah.
I wish that Milwaukee and Minnesota could just, like, combine teams and just have one super team. The single
most
team.
Enjoyable, like, they'd have to make a Disney feel-good film about it.
Exactly. Well, because all five players would be, like, 7 feet tall with, like, 8 feet long wingspans, and they can all handle the ball. It's just, like, you think the Warriors' small ball is hard to guard? That would be impossible.
Here's my bold prediction that I don't actually believe in, but is just worth mentioning just because I think it's funny. I'd love to see a Western Conference playoffs where Golden State's on the decline 3 years from now, finally. Minnesota is finally, like, they have arrived. Like, they probably were in the playoffs the previous year, but they're ready to play in the playoffs this year. And the Spurs are just a dumpster fire. And there's talk of moving them to Vegas. Like, like every
with the
dumpster
NHL
fire.
Team that's in
we're,
Vegas.
We're going to remember the 2010s to 2020s as the era where every bad team was threatened with Vegas. Like, the Rams moved back to LA where they belong so I can hate them properly. Every other team was threatened with Las Vegas.
I'd be all right with Vegas teams. But gambling's bad for the game. You know what else is bad for the game? Steroids. You know what else is bad for the game? $60 billion contracts. You know what else is bad for the game?
Spousal abuse.
Spousal abuse. You know what else is bad for the game? Roger Goodell. He's great for the owners.
That's
He's
actually
bad for the
true.
Game.
That's actually true. Oh, man. You know what? You know what I think is bad? I feel not bad for Oakland fans, because that would require just a level of compassion that I haven't reached. But
you need to be more Christ-like.
I shouldn't. I want Oakland to stay in Oakland, but also the idea of them moving to Vegas right before they get good is so Browns-Ravens-esque. And it's not like they're moving to, like, a shining, like, beacon of a city. Like, oh, they were in Oakland, you know. Oakland. But then they went to, I don't know, whatever, like Seattle. Like, oh, like, yeah, it's just a beautiful hub of business and commerce and young families. Like, they're going to Vegas. The Vegas Raider fan base is exactly the same as the Oakland Raider fan
base. Well, they're the same people.
Like, and nobody who wears Oakland gear and professes to be an Oakland fan actually watches the games anyway. So it's not like Oakland's going to lose a lot of revenue by moving the fan base to Vegas. That might be the biggest stereotype I've ever made on this show. Oakland fans like wearing Oakland stuff, that's all I'm saying, more than actually watching football, which
yeah.
I can't really blame them for, because they only win like 4 games a year, every year, for my entire life.
Nah, they won the Super Bowl in 01, or wait, did they win that year? I don't remember. It was the Pirate Bowl between them and the Bucks.
Oh, that's right.
Warren Sapp. John Gruden.
John Gruden.
With his Gruden grinders. That is a heck of a player right there. I like that guy. Gruden, is there anybody you don't like? Which is fair, because NFL athletes are some of the best athletes in the world. Like, it's hard to see a guy on an NFL field and be like, he's just not that good.
I always think about that when we talk about, like, Andy Dalton or Kirk Cousins. When we talk about, like, are they good enough? You know, are they good enough to be big-time players in the NFL?
He's the 17th best quarterback on Earth.
Like, Kirk Cousins, as captain of the Aggie squad, goes undefeated this year. Doesn't matter who you put around him. Like, an almost like reliable NFL starter at any other level in any other country, like
just sets all the records, all of them.
Like if Marshawn Lynch just decided to play for the next 10 years in, I don't know, like in Mexico, which he might do because he's Marshawn Lynch, and that's just something that I could see happening. He'd be like Castillo. He'd actually have like the most rushing yards of any man alive, but like people wouldn't count it because it's just a different,
it's a different level. It'd be like Ichiro. Like he's got like 10,000 all-time hits, but the first 6,000 that happened in Japan don't count for some reason.
They should even count those as like half a hit. Like, I don't know, maybe that would set a bad precedent, but like they should be something.
Ichiro's just the greatest.
I haven't paid attention to baseball since Boston lost to Baltimore and lost control of their division. If you want to fill us in on Rockies goings-on.
They beat the Yankees. Here, let's just get some real quick standings. So, Boston and Baltimore are tied for the division right now, but we've still got... Well, we're not even at the All-Star break yet. That's still 3 weeks away.
Man, the summer is so long.
All right.
I keep thinking that the playoffs for baseball like aren't around the corner, but they're at least approaching. They're not.
Holy crap. The AL East is a really tight race. The fifth place New York Yankees, I'll never get tired of saying that, are only 6.5 games back of the leading Baltimore Orioles.
I know you hate this because of being a Laker fan, but it really has been a great couple years to be anti-bandwagon teams, with the exception of the Patriots.
Yeah.
The Patriots have still just been dominant. But the Yankees are bad. The Knicks are bad. If you consider the Bulls one of those teams, their Bulls have been disappointing. The Yankees are bad. The Red Sox were bad if you're against that sort of thing. They're okay this year. Like, if you've been against the big time, like the classic big time teams, I guess it just doesn't apply to football mostly. Like, the Steelers haven't had like a losing season in a million years.
The Niners are bad.
The Niners are bad. And that, you know, I wish I could enjoy them being bad more than I do. But I kind of enjoyed crushing their dreams in the NFC Championship more than watching them win like 5 games a year.
Yeah. Happens. Texas Rangers are 41-25, currently on top of the entire AL. National League, the Washington Nationals are also 41-25. Would be on top of the entire NL, except the Giants are 41-26, so they're only half a game behind.
Dang it.
And the Cubs are 44-20.
Forget the NL. The Giants and the Cubs on top. Who do you root for in that series?
The Meteor. Or, you know what? It's in San Francisco. When's the last time Candlestick got rocked by an earthquake? I shouldn't have said
Most listeners aren't going to know what you're talking about, but I've seen the 30 for 30. So. That's where I get any sports information from, pre like 2002, when I was like 10 years old and just like didn't pay attention to any sports things at all.
Okay, so Boston's run differential this year is plus 86. There are two teams with a negative run differential over 100. The Twins at negative 109. The Braves at negative 112. The only team with over 100 positive run differential is the Cubs at plus 159.
Gosh, people.
They could lose every game for the rest of the season and probably still not get back to zero.
Man. I hate the Cubs. Oh, hey. Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
We got people walking by the booth that can actually, like, wave at us. You know, last week that girl walked by and we, like, waved at her? And we were just like, hey, like, how's it going? We got no response.
Yeah.
No, like, she's too cool to glance at the radio booth and give us, like, two fingers of a wave.
No, but that was just a whole group of I don't know if it was Skyview student body kids or Skyview choir kids or Skyview something, but...
I don't know. This is bad. I don't know who's walking around campus anymore. And I don't consider myself, like, that old of a person to be able to, like, not tell the difference between EFY kids and incoming freshmen. But we might be at that point.
Oh, I've been at that point for years, Logan.
Like, some of the EFY kids look like middle schoolers, and it's pretty obvious. But then other ones, I'm just like, so are we going to see you here next year? Or
you're 13, okay.
Which is embarrassing because I'm dating a girl who was at EFY here last year. Which we're not going to go in-depth about.
Give me a C. Give me an R. Give me an A.
Don't
Cradle
do that.
Robber.
She calls me that sometimes, and it hurts. It hurts deep. I read a thing yesterday. It's hilarious. There's a Philadelphia Eagles blogger that writes it. He does it every year, actually, because I think I remember reading it last year. And he's done the other three teams in the division so far, and he's going to do the Eagles. He writes why every team in the Eagles division is going to be a dumpster fire next year. And it's just straight hatred. It's convincing. By the end of every, they're like a bullet list of like 10 different things. By the end of each article, you're thoroughly convinced, like, wow, the Giants aren't going to win a game next year. The Cowboys aren't going to win a game next year. The Redskins definitely aren't going to win a game next year. And they're an Eagles blog, but they're going to do it for Philly too. By the end of it, you just realize, like, wow, this division has been terrible. Who even wins this division? Like, the Redskins got it last year.
It's up for, submitted 2 hours ago. 10 reasons the Eagles will be a dumpster fire this season.
Well, they're, I mean, you...
Number one, Sam Bradford is the Eagles quarterback.
That's good reason.
Number two, Ryan Matthews is the Eagles running back.
The Giants one had me just roll. I was at work and I was dying because it's got these little Microsoft Paint like artistic like versions of all these different players. Cowboys one was pretty good too. I need to forward it to Tim. Tim up in the office is a big Cowboys fan. But it's I took it upon myself to look up who's won that division for like the last 10 years. They haven't had a repeat champion in that division since like at least 02. I don't remember how far back
here,
I went.
I'll look it up right now.
But even there's like 12-4 Cowboys, and then there's 4-12 Cowboys the next year. And there's the Redskins of 2 years ago and the Redskins of last year who I don't even know what. Hey, guys. Yes, people are waving at us today.
You guys are awesome.
This doesn't always happen.
Have a good day.
The Cowboys are kind of an anomaly. I think people think they were going to be another like 12-win team last year with a healthy Romo. And that I just don't think that's true.
Okay, so the last time there was a repeat champion in the NFC East was the 2001-04 Eagles. So Donovan McNabb.
The McNabb years. I had the Madden with McNabb on the cover.
So did I.
I
that's
loved,
actually the Madden I brought my freshman year of college
I
up here
loved
with my Xbox.
That, was that the 2006, 2004? I can't remember what year. It must have been 2004.
I thought it was 2006.
Maybe it's 2006.
Or 2007.
You know what? It had to have been 2006 because I bought it. I think it was freshman year of high school. And that was maybe my favorite Madden game of all time. It was Madden 2006. You could play as you could play as the Seahawks, and your best receiver, I think, is Brandon Ingram. I can't remember. I don't even know who the receivers are on that team. I got drafted by the Patriots in my first franchise run. Which most people, I guess, would try for, but I did not. Anyway, that was great. That was only rivaled by the NCAA 07, where your girlfriend gets better looking
as
your stats increase, which is the most realistic progressive function in any video game, I think, ever. And would totally not be appropriate in 2016. They would not let that slide anymore.
No, not at all.
Your apartment also got better. Which has heavy implications as well.
Yeah. We're not going to talk about NCAA money today.
I want to dig out that game and play as a Miami quarterback and just watch my apartment grow to a mansion. My girlfriend grow to a supermodel.
Two supermodels.
There's multiple things paperclip to your calendar by the end of your senior year.
So, before we got on, you talked about maybe having a list of PTI-style stuff. Do you want to be Kornheiser, or do you want to be Wilbon?
I'll be the unreasonable one. I'll be Kornheiser. It's a little more fun to play that role, I think.
Do we have a list of things?
Mentally, yes.
Okay.
Well, mentally, yes.
Before we get into that list, I do want to bring up one thing really quick, just because if I don't do it, nobody else in this stupid country will. USA plays Ecuador in the quarterfinals of the Copa America tonight.
We're still in Copa America?
Yeah!
See, I didn't know that. Exactly. I will watch that
nobody
game.
Nobody pays attention. Klinsmann, who is a great, like, technical director, might be the worst bench coach in the history of the game, though, thinks it's a 50-50 game.
Okay.
So, but it's like, in Seattle.
I like Klinsmann, and I don't know a lot about soccer, but I remember from the World Cup, the fact they all bought tickets down to the World Cup, and they didn't buy tickets home. And I just remember, like, just they could have, and then it would have been cheaper, and then if they would have stayed, they would have just, we're Team USA, we'll just stay. They didn't buy tickets home, and I remember thinking, that's a cool, that gets me, I like that. Like, and they actually, I don't know, deep down, I really like soccer. But it's deep down, because anytime it's a World Cup or even Copa America, which I don't even totally understand what's going on, I watched Chile versus Panama up in the Statesman office the other day for like 20 minutes and saw Panama's first goal. And I like yelled just instinctively because I was excited. And I've been playing a lot of FIFA, and he shot it from outside the box. And I was like, so, that doesn't happen.
So I'll tell you what Copa America is. It's like the World Cup, but only for North and South America. So it's still the national teams, but just North and, well, I guess Central America is technically part of North America, so whatever. But so there's like six different FIFA regions.
Okay.
And it's just CONCACAF, which is the North America, and CONMEBOL, which is the South American one. And it's their little continental cup of national teams.
Hmm. So, and we're still in it.
We're still in it.
I, for some reason, I thought we weren't. I thought we lost to somebody.
So, they do the same thing. It's a group stage at first, and then it advances to, like, knockout rounds.
Okay. So we're in a knockout game against Ecuador.
We're in a knockout game against Ecuador because it should have been Brazil, but Brazil may or may not have gotten screwed by a hand goal, which is fine because it's Brazil, and they have, like, six World Cups, and they're the greatest team of all time, and I don't care. So we should have had to have played Brazil, who, in all likelihood, would have smoked us. But now we get Ecuador, so we have a chance to win the quarterfinal and get the semifinal.
And that's on, maybe I'll, you know what? We should Buffalo Wild Wings tonight. We should watch that game.
Let's see what time it's at. It's at 7:30 Mountain Time.
Do you have adult responsibilities?
I might.
Oh!
I have to work until 6:30, but I...
This guy.
Come on, what's it on? What?
Well, I'm excited that we're even still in it. I thought we lost along the way somehow and didn't pay that close attention.
And our last game against Ecuador was only a month ago. In Frisco, Texas... It was 0-0 until the 90th minute. Darlington Nagbe volleyed in a ball, and we won 1-0. So,
all right.
Good history lately against him.
All right.
But that was a friendly that didn't mean anything.
All right. I will probably watch that tonight. I'm excited about that. Odds that we win, do you put us at 50-50, or is that just coach talk?
I think it's more coach speak. I think, honestly, in Seattle, well, it depends, too, because apparently the ticket prices are freaking outrageous, and they closed off a quarter of the stadium so they could hike the prices up. But if we get a good crowd, which we usually happens in Seattle, like, that arena's just really nice. Seattle fans are crazy about their Seattle soccer and about the national team. I say it's more of like a 60-40 in our favor.
Okay. So it's at CenturyLink.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Well then, Copa America. Who knew?
Mm-hmm.
So here's one for you, and this is going to be discussed at length to no real definitive answer because it's just one of those sports things that people wonder about. But at what point does America like fully commit to the soccer bandwagon?
You know, the time to do it was like 2004 to 2010, because Landon Donovan is a generational player, and I hate saying that. Like, As a fan of the national team, I love Landon Donovan. As a MLS fan of Real Salt Lake and watching him in LA with the Galaxy and everything that he did, I hate Landon Donovan. So I hate saying this, but he is a generational, like, I would go so far as to say he's like a Kobe Bryant, LeBron James level player that only comes around once every 30 years. I mean, I guess that's happening more and more in the NBA today.
Well,
but we're not going to have another player like him. And he just, he ate up the attention. And he wasn't like a dick about it.
Bro, there's only one rule.
He wasn't a jerk about it or anything. Like, he ate up the attention, but he was really friendly with the media. And he was the kind of guy that, like, you've got your little four-year-olds at home and they're learning to play soccer. And, like, who do you want to be like when you grow up? I want to be like Landon Donovan. Good role model.
I don't know much about him, but he always seemed like, I mean, he's a good-looking guy. Seems like an easy face to market for the team.
Oh,
his
yeah.
debut as a Landon Donovan could be in commercials and be funny.
So that was the time to do it. So when we're finally going to actually jump on the bandwagon is 5 years from now when Roger Goodell has run the NFL into the ground and it's now 7-on-7 passing league, no contact, flag football, which will still be really fun to watch because they're the best athletes in the world just playing flag football.
Russell Wilson's just going to run figure eights around everyone.
Exactly.
Everyone's going to be like, it's going to turn into, well, I don't know what the actual name of that game is that we used to play after lacrosse practice. I know I can't say the one we called it on the radio.
does it have to do something with smearing yep. somebody? Yep.
Yeah, okay. We can't say that. But it's going to turn into just that in the league. And Russell Wilson will be the perpetual champion.
I hope it's not even organized either. I hope...
Or Lynch will come back and everyone will try to tackle him and he will just shake them off.
I hope it's just like kind of rugby style, like, or lacrosse style, like the ball just starts in the middle and... Or like dodgeball style. And the ball's there on the line and everybody's 10 yards off. And the ref blows the whistle and everybody hustles that ball and it's just whoever keeps possession the longest wins.
There's just a running clock at the bottom of the screen on Fox Sports Network because ESPN will be dead by then, too. they're all going down together.
But that's when America finally embraces the bandwagon, and that's when we get all of our best athletes playing soccer instead.
I always felt like that was the problem, was we, like, everyone kind of grows up in youth soccer and youth baseball and whatever, and then they kind of find their niche in middle school or high school. And we've got tons of guys in basketball and tons of guys in football. And I really, maybe youth football numbers dip a little bit the more the concussion stuff gets out there. But I don't think the popularity of professional and college football is going to go anywhere, probably ever. Like, Goodell tried his hardest a year or two ago with all the PR issues that the NFL had.
Happened.
And it's only getting more popular. So I don't think soccer ever overtakes American football. Probably doesn't overtake basketball or baseball either. But I think it can be at the level that hockey is at, where it's got its dedicated group of fans, and they are large enough for it to be on TV, and the TV money is there, and it's already getting that way. Like, here, like, Utah fans are crazy about Real. My problem, and probably a problem for a lot of people like me, is I get super pumped for Team USA. I'm from Salem, and Portland won, like, the MLS thing last year. I owe nothing. I've never watched a Timbers game.
And I've tried to get you to, like... There was a Timbers game at Rio Tinto, where Real Salt Lake plays, last year, and I was like, I'll buy you a ticket, and we'll go, and watch the game. And you can be a Timbers fan, and I'll hate
and
you,
I would
it'll
be
fine.
I would be willing to be a Timbers. It's not that I'm even against being into the MLS. I'm just not into the MLS. Like, I don't watch it. It's not super... But like I said, I watched Chile versus Panama yesterday, a game I have no investment in. And if it's, like, a world event, probably because I just love the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I love, like, any... Like, that all of a sudden, I'm like, ooh... Well, I'm into this.
But that's the thing. That's why in the USA, like, we've come close before in the World Cup, and we've had our, like, positive moments as a national team. But you take, like, let's just say the 11 best athletes in the United States of America, maybe one or two of those is on our soccer team. The other ones are all in NBA or NFL.
Yeah, that's like the ones that come immediately to mind, like, as far as just pure athletic skill, like LeBron James, Cam Newton, not Tom Brady, he's old.
F Tom Brady.
Yeah, but I think of, and there's probably not a lot of baseball players on that list either.
I would say, like, Trout and Harper are actually really athletic guys.
Like Odell Beckham Jr.
Yeah.
Probably play anything.
Bartolo Colon.
Bartolo Colon. That
beautiful, beautiful man.
Woolly mammoth of a human being.
But no, so once we get to the point where, because that's how it is for every other, like, that's why USA basketball dominates
right.
every year. Because Spain's 11 best athletes are all on the U.S. national, or I wish, are all on the Spanish national team. And the next two best athletes are Ricky Rubio and Pau Gasol.
Right.
I guess Pau and Marc Gasol.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it does have to, I mean, it's like being a college sports fan. Like, Aggie basketball right now is just kind of a floating program because they don't win a lot. And so even though it used to be popular, it's just, it's not right now. And so winning is definitely a part of the popularity thing. But also, just every time we have a World Cup, all the sports fans come out and realize, like, yeah, I'll root for Team USA and watch them. Like, it's actually pretty exciting to watch it's not exciting to watch a 0-0 match most of the time still for me. But even a low-scoring match that's like 1-0, if Tim Howard is out there doing Tim Howard things, I'm invested.
The Secretary
I'm into
of Defense.
It. That was the most enjoyable hour I think I've ever spent on Twitter, was when Tim Howard had like 18 saves against Portugal. And the U.S. just barely... Did we lose or did we tie?
Tied.
We tied the game. And even that felt like a victory, which I didn't understand being not a soccer fan really until that point. I think I've told you before, my first soccer experience... The first time I ever watched any soccer game ever... was the 2010 World Cup, where Donovan scored in like the 90th minute, and then I watched Mexico versus Spain in a taco bus with a bunch of Hispanic construction workers, and I was so into it. It was so much fun watching soccer with even half a dozen people that are hardcore fans. Just it makes it so cool. Like, watching football with football fans can be like a negative experience, because depending on how your team's doing, it can just be like a dark, like an angry feeling. Watching soccer is nothing but fun. Like, there's a reason other entire countries are into it. Like, I totally get it now. At least, like, a taste of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's why Olympics are fun. Everybody is just like, all right, for the next little while, we're going to forget that we're about to elect the worst president in human history, and we're just going to cheer for the Team USA in the Olympics.
Amen. Time for the PTI list?
Yeah, time for the PTI list. So, okay, I want to go to the NFL for just a second. We've talked about this a little bit before. It's Texans, no, not Texans, Broncos. It's Broncos Panthers in a Super Bowl rematch week one of the NFL season this fall.
Which they've been doing since, like, 08, maybe? They've been doing that the last few years.
Right, they try to at least, like I know for Seahawks it was a Green Bay matchup. We played Green Bay because of the NFC championship rematch. Is that the best? Like, there will be, I can't do the math, but 17 weeks of 15, 16 games a week. I can't do the math. For the rest of the season, that still might be the best game of the entire season. Yes or no?
You know, it's hard for me to say yes. During the regular season, it very could well be. But at the same time, I generally find that the best games of the season aren't between the best teams. I think the best game of the season is going to be that week 17 NFC East. Winner goes to the playoffs. Loser's not getting the wild card spot because that whole division's a dumpster fire game. And that game is going to go to overtime. It's going to be like six turnovers. You're going to have like third string quarterbacks throwing touchdowns. You're going to have fullbacks like... going on wheel routes and burning corners for touchdowns.
Fake punts. You know, because here's my pick for the game of the year. The first time the Bengals and the Steelers play.
Ooh, that's a good game.
And I don't think Perfect will actually be playing, which is surprising because usually the NFL will schedule that game for his first game back. But I don't think they wanted anyone to die on the field. But Tomlin, I love Tomlin's coaching style where he just goes for onside kicks and goes for two at seemingly random points throughout the game just to keep people on their toes. And they're both probably going to be pretty good offenses and defenses this year. I think the Steelers are actually a Super Bowl contender. And it's one of those games where I feel like I love when teams, like, it's not just the fans drum up this narrative where it's like, oh, we hate the Bengals, but the players are like, hey, we're all in this just to get paid. Those players actually hate each other.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh, NFC West, like, hatred. Like, the Seahawks did not like the personnel on the 49ers and vice versa. And the coaches didn't like each other, and the fans didn't like each other, and they were both probably the two best defenses in the league.
In all fairness, nobody should have liked anybody in San Francisco at that point in time. When Colin Kaepernick is the face of your franchise,
you
got problems.
I hated it. Now it's just a lukewarm, like, dislike. I hated Colin Kaepernick. People were buying Kaepernick jerseys. He was in, like, the top 10 jersey sales in the nation.
There was a minute there when apparently people were serious about Kaepernick to Denver, and I was like, we just won a Super Bowl. Do you want us to only win 3 games next year?
And I'm thinking that anytime you get a game where it's not just like, oh, it's a divisional rivalry, it's a historic thing, we want to beat them because, you know, like, the entire NFC North is like, oh, we want to beat the Bears because they're the Bears. Like, these are people that actually, like, might put a little extra mustard on every single hit just because they're like, I hate that guy. I don't even want to be the teammate of that guy. If I ever got traded to that team, I would just mess stuff up in the locker room.
And then get traded away again.
And then the Bills would pick me up when we play them.
It's like a Josh McDaniels level mission. So McDaniels gets hired by Denver as is the head coach, picks Tim Tebow, and then, like, all kinds of crap, and then finally gets kicked out of town, and then gets rehired as the offensive coordinator by the Patriots again. And after, like, 4 years, all of a sudden everybody's like, oh, that was, like, some, like, CIA MI6 level covert ops spy stuff going on there. How's the girl?
Oh, she's good. She's going to volunteer at hospital. Yeah, I kind of want, I hope Pete Carroll in a couple years, he's gonna go old. He's an old guy. And I dread thinking about trying to find a coach to bring in after Pete Carroll in Seattle. But he's gonna retire for a year, and then he's Pete Carroll, and he's gonna get the itch, and he's gonna go to Ohio State. They're gonna hire him. And because at that point, they're going to promote
Urban Meyer.
Maybe that's who Seattle hires.
Maybe they just switch places.
Urban Meyer wants to be a college coach forever and just rake in all the dollars. But, like, I want Michigan Harbaugh versus hated rival Ohio State, Pete Carroll. And I want the game, like, I want there to be, like, a rivalry, like, a back and forth there for a couple of years. And I don't want this to happen, but, like, it'll be like a storied thing someday if Michigan wins on like a blocked punt return for a touchdown and Pete Carroll just has a heart attack and dies.
Like, we often talk about like tweets of the year. The actual tweet of the year last year was the Michigan State game that Muff punt, or did he miss it? I don't remember exactly what happened. But the tweet of the year, because that won the game for Michigan State.
That was the
State.
Most stunning ending to a game since the Iron Bowl.
Maybe the tweet of the decade was the only person in the state of Michigan that's not going to say he was at that game in 10 years is the punter.
Oh, I remember watching that game. Just I don't sit and watch college football on Saturdays. And like really, like it's on, but I'm always doing other things. And I remember watching that game. It was on in the first half, and I was on my laptop. And in the second half, I just sat and watched it for not really any good reason. I don't really care about any of the two teams. And I do, like, I was kind of rooting for Michigan State the whole time because ever since the Michigan made, like, the little brother comment, like, years ago, they've been, like, winless against Michigan State or, like, near winless. And so it comes down to that last play, and the broadcasters are like, this is all but going to seal the game. And I remember thinking, like, I hate when they say that. Like, game's not over yet. But there's really only, like they really only have to do one thing right in order to win this game, and that's just punt the ball away. And I think it slips through his hands is what happens. And then he doesn't fall on it, and then Michigan falls on it, and then they're up. Or Michigan State falls on it, and they're up. And then they're running to the end zone, and then they, like, crush the guy's hip for the rest of the season in the end zone celebration. And, like, it was just a whole array of, like, Like, when people talk about, like, you know, I just don't get sports. Like, I don't meet these people very often, but there's always, like, people out there. They're just like, I just don't, you know, whatever. Some people are into that, though. Like, if you like it, it's good for you. But it's, like, always condescending. Like, if you don't like that, like, investing 3 hours of your life into a game that ends in 12 seconds of insanity, like, you just, you don't have a soul. Like, that's what it comes down to. Like,
those are the kind of people that look at Jackson Pollock paintings and just, like, tell me, like, this is what he meant by this. You know what Jackson Pollock did? He dipped his paintbrush in and chucked it at the wall and he called it art, which is fine. That can be art. But don't tell me that he was trying to do a specific thing with that. It's supposed to be abstract. And you're going to tell me that you don't love the insanity of the last 10 seconds of a game like that?
If you watch the Iron Bowl and you listen to that, to the guys in the booth, like the professionals.
Auburn's going to win the football game!
Auburn's going to win the football game! And then a guy in the background going, woo!
You know who does that all the time? If you ever listen to a Seattle Seahawks radio broadcast, yeah. So Warren Moon is on the broadcast with, Warren Moon's the color guy. I don't know the name of the play-by-play guy.
I don't.
He's a really big
Rabel.
Deal.
It's Steve Rabel.
Yeah, Steve Rabel up in Seattle. But Warren Moon will just sit there and Rabel is like talking about the game. And Russell Wilson will just make, like, a throw on a dime on a corner pass, and the receiver just, like, taps both toes and falls out of bounds. And Warren Moon just goes, oh! Oh!
Yeah, I can't even replicate it. I won't miss Antonio Harvey, but I do, he used to do the calls, the Blazer calls, the radio ones with Mike Wheeler. And Wheeler's great at just the play-by-play. Like, so-and-so, he's like an old-school guy. Like, so-and-so passes to Roy. Roy for three. Yes, he did! Like, and then in the background, you'd have Tone going, woo! Like,
speaking of which, Portland fired Mike and Mike.
Unbelievable.
Let's do this.
Unbelievable.
You and me in Portland.
You know what? My dad texted me this, and
it's
I think he's accurate.
It's very believable that they fired drunk Mike.
Yeah. Here's what I think happened, and this is my dad's theory, and I think it's correct. I think they fired Mike Rice, because he makes too many mistakes during games. And, like, Barrett's a homer, but, like, he's a smart play-by-play guy. His basketball IQ is just through the roof. And Rice's actually was years ago, but he really...
Before the alcohol
the gin and tonics have added up over the years. And I think what happened is they're like, we're getting rid of Mike Rice, and Barrett's a stand-up enough guy to be like, there's no me without Mike Rice. And they called his bluff and just fired them both. Cause it's
even though there totally was a you without
yeah,
Mike Rice.
Because they're restructuring their TV contract because they've just been in Comcast hell for years. And it's just been a nightmare to try and watch Blazer games in Oregon, like in the local area. And so they fired them both, plus Antonio Harvey. They're going to have Mike Wheeler do the Blazer broadcast by himself, which is odd. And they're going to hire two new guys. They should hire Brandon Roy and Bill Walton, because that's must-watch television.
I cannot stand
but,
Bill Walton.
But I probably wouldn't wish that on Brandon Roy. That's too many.
Yeah.
That's too much effort to try and carry Walton through 82 games. I probably wouldn't want to watch Walton through a whole season,
you know,
either, but every once in a while he's great.
So Walton is fun in the way that... How do I want to phrase this? Walton tells a lot of stories, and they're fun stories, but basketball is too fast-paced for that. You can do that in baseball, which is why Vin Scully is the greatest play-by-play guy of all time, because he can wind up, and the pitch, and that curveball's outside, and you know, Kershaw's curveball, da-da-da-da-da, and 15 minutes later, you're suddenly talking about refugees.
Yeah,
and
tell me a story,
sense.
Vin.
But you can do that in baseball.
Yeah.
It's good, and it fits with the game. But Bill Walton tries to do that, and all of a sudden, like, Bill, when you started talking, this was a 15-15 game. It's 46-27.
Well, it always ends up being such a political thing, too. It's never a sports thing.
And he's always wearing his tie-dye shirt. And you know he's high, or was high, which is fair, because his knees just don't exist anymore.
Oh, man. Thank you for the championship, Bill. Thank you. I wasn't around for it, but I still appreciate it. The stadium, the arena voice guy, also, like, he's been battling cancer. Like, I think he's back and healthy, but he's been the guy my entire life. Like, Hot Rod Hundley for Jazz fans. Like, that's, I don't even know the guy's name, but he's been the guy for me forever since it was the Rose Garden, like, well since it was Rose Garden. And then Wheels has been the radio guy forever. And then Mike and Mike, they just got, like, their 20-year pins. Like, Mike Barrett started as, like, a duck sideline reporter and moved up in the world to the point where he's doing Blazer games. I've got, like, pictures with them. They've been there forever. They're just funny guys. It's going to be weird to see. I don't know. There was a clip. It was actually high on. It wasn't just the Reddit Blazer sub, but it was the NBA sub. It was one of the top posts for a long time during the playoffs. It was like Blazers play-by-play guys call everything that happens for like a two-minute span right before it happens, basically. And they're both smart basketball guys is what I'm going to miss most. Like, a lot of people are bothered by them because they broadcast purposefully for the home crowd, and they don't, like, credit the Golden State guys, actually, for probably being like the most impartial broadcasters in the league. They're actually pretty smart. Yeah. I like them a lot. But the Blazer guys are always homers, but they're also like, and now here's what we're going to see here, and they just called timeout. Here's the play they're going to come out with. And they just nailed it. For two solid minutes, they knew everything that was about to happen. It was amazing. You don't find that every day.
No, you do not.
But me and Tristan are going to go get those jobs, so. Because we're willing to literally work for peanuts. But
yeah, also, I do love my Lakers, and I do love Kobe Bryant, but Kobe's gone now. I could be persuaded to at least be impartial during a Lakers-Blazers game.
You could be the Blazers' Bill Orem.
Yeah.
Where you're blatantly, like, not a fan of the team you're covering, but you do it faithfully anyway. Bill Orem is one of the best follows on Twitter if you're just a basketball fan.
Bill Orem is from Utah. He used to... Salt Lake Tribune?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he used to cover the Jazz for this Tribune, and then he got... It's not the LA Times. It's
the Orange County Register.
He's the Lakers beat writer for him. And he's been a Jazz fan all his life. He hates the Lakers. And he covers that team more faithfully than anybody else I've ever seen.
He's the type of guy, he's such a sarcastic guy, and he'll tweet things with kind of an eye roll feel, and you can always just tell. And he would, this whole past year, he would be tweeting Byron Scott quotes from after the game, and I would never know if they were actually Byron Scott or if he was just blatantly poking fun at them. Because it's tough to tell with Byron.
Oh, gosh. What's your next point on our PTI list?
All right, last one, and then we'll wrap up. We started 20 minutes late, but we'll only end five. I'm thinking... Let's discuss this, because we're a sports talk radio show, and we will literally be canceled if we don't talk about LeBron James. It's a rule. It's in sports talk law. If LeBron James is the reason that the Cavs win Game 6, and then they go on, and no matter how it happens, they win Game 7 and win the series, does he cement himself as, like, still... Like, I don't know. Does he overtake Curry all of a sudden again as the NBA's like golden child?
The king of the league right now? I don't think so, just because I personally think he should. But I don't think he does, because ESPN and Fox Sports and everybody for the past 2 years has just been all aboard the small ball train. And you can't undo... You should be able to, but you're not going to be able to undo 2 years of that in two games, even though you should. And I think if they win Game 6 and 7 because of LeBron, or just Game 6 because of LeBron, and then they win Game 7 as a team or whatever, I think he should just be like, yeah, I'm still LeBron James. Take away Mr. Curry's phenomenal shooting, which is very phenomenal, by the way, but take that away, and he's got nothing.
Well, Curry, you got to believe the league has never been in love with someone as much as they've been in love with Curry since Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Because they were in love with Kobe. They're in love with LeBron. But it's different for Curry. Because they love dunking, and they love three-pointers. It's like the NFL loving, like, deep passes to the end zone. Yeah. Like, it's good for TV.
The league loved Michael Jordan. And there weren't very many, like... Teams in the division hated Michael, and everybody that played Michael wanted to shut him down. But there was, like, a respect factor there. And that respect factor there was also there with Kobe. Like, the league loved Kobe. Lakers fans loved Kobe. Everybody else hated Kobe. LeBron, Cavs fans loved LeBron, and then Cavs fans hated LeBron when Miami fans loved
LeBron. The decision caused pretty much everyone to hate LeBron.
The league loved LeBron, but everybody else hated LeBron. The only people that hate Steph Curry... are I'm drawing a blank here. Does anybody actually hate Steph Curry?
Steph Curry frustrates me, but not like he's nowhere near that level. I hated LeBron during the decision year.
He's not a hateable guy. He chews on his mouth guard, and that's not very sanitary.
I hate him because without him in the league, Lillard would be getting a lot more attention because Lillard is basically Curry light, which is frustrating because Drexler was basically Jordan light. And we keep on getting like our best franchise players right when some of the best players to ever play happens to also be playing in the league. Yeah. Like, and it's always the same style. Like, Drexler did it well, Jordan did it better. Like, Lillard's on pace for like record 3-point shooting too, but not as record setting as Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who each have like a year or two head start on him anyway. Yeah. So like any records that Lillard would have set year after year in the league for 3-point shooting or for anything else he does, they've already been shattered. Like, so that in that respect, he frustrates me. And his shoes are ugly.
Oh, that is real.
His shoes are ugly. This is not just the internet like finding something to make fun of that's actually not that big a deal. Those are hideous.
You know, and I will go ahead and say this. I love the Kobes. I own a pair of Kobes. They're comfortable. They're nice shoes. They're really light. Some of the Kobe pairs are really cool looking. The Kobe is an ugly shoe, though. But the Kobe looks phenomenal compared to those stupid Curry Under Armour.
The Lillard 2 is hot.
Oh,
it is an attractive shoe. Like, it is nice. If I like, if a girl ever, like, if Sydney ever walked in wearing a pair of like women's Lillards, I'd just propose.
I thought you were just gonna propose anyway.
I might, but that would just be, I would like all sense of like
timing.
Like, it would just go out the window, and I'd just be like, let's do this. Like,
hey, baby, you and me, Vegas, 6 hours.
Like, it's, we 6 hours. Ah, you know what? In that case, I probably would make it in
you,
6 hours.
You can make it from Logan to Vegas in 6 hours if you're trying hard
enough. I would ditch Frida J, and I would rent a,
rent a Charger again. So, just one really quick story here. Logan, last year, got to go cover Mountain West Conference football media days in Vegas. I was going to go with him. The Statesman, was it the Statesman that did it for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the Statesman sets everything up so he can go rent a car at Enterprise Rent-A-Car here in Logan. And Josh Thompson, former Aggie kicker, is now the manager there. And they had it all set up like, this is the car you're going to get.
I was
and
in a Buick.
He was going to have like a shack, like Buick LeSabre or something. And for some reason, that Buick wasn't there. And Josh was like, well, let's see what else we can get you. And did they have to like pay any more for the upgrade?
No, they just gave me a free upgrade.
Josh was just like, you know what? We'll just get you the upgrade. This slick, black, brand new Dodge Charger that couldn't have had more than like 10,000 miles on it. And Josh just throws in the keys. It's like, here you go.
I spent the 7-hour drive to Vegas trying to rein in, like stay within the gravitational force of the earth, because I kept on, it's like an 80 most of the way to Vegas, and like once the car is going 80 and people are passing you and you're like, all right, it's an 80, I can go a little bit faster, and then you're going 105 and you're like, woo, too much, that's too much. I couldn't figure out the cruise control on the thing because everything's like, the buttons are all weird because it's such a new car.
I was so upset, though, because you and I were supposed to go on that trip, and then like 3 days before, something came up and I wasn't going to get a go, and I probably wouldn't have been able to drive the car anyway because I didn't have like clearance or whatever, but I totally would have done it.
And then I stayed by myself in the Cosmopolitan, and like, at first I got there and this is a slick hotel room with my slick car. I was like, I should go cruising for women. I've got a nice hotel room. I've got a nice car. But then I realized everything in Vegas sucks. Like, being in Vegas by yourself, even with all like the things that you need paid for, like, it sucks. There's nothing to do there. Not if you're me. I don't have any money to gamble, even if I wanted to gamble. I don't have any money for strippers, even if I was into strip clubs. I don't have any money for fancy food, even if I wanted fancy. I went to, you know what, the most exciting thing I did when I was there, I went to a Denny's with Eric Youngblood, former sports broadcast copy editor guy for student media here.
Current guy at, I don't know the call sign, but...
Is he Good Morning Las Vegas?
It's one of the Vegas stations.
I went to a Denny's at like midnight, and we spent an hour and a half catching up, because that's how long it took the Denny's to get us our food. That's what we did in Vegas.
Oh, man. But anyway, back to the question. Do I think LeBron, if he wins game 6 and 7, should take back over as the Golden Child? Yes. Will he? No.
Nah.
Even if he wins.
Yeah. Steph's going to be that until his shooting goes, probably. Or until his ankles fall apart and people forget about him, like Chris Paul.
Remember when Steph's ankles fell apart the first like couple of years he was in the league?
I'm kind of not cheering for it, but I'm kind of waiting for that day.
It reminds me, like, there's so many, like, it's a really easy, like, article to write to be like, these are all the teams that passed on Steph Curry. Idiots. But the first couple of years that Steph Curry was in Oakland, he had so many injury issues. Like,
oh, yeah. He and Klay Thompson's first year together, they won, like, 20-something games. They were not great. Gives me, as a Blazer fan, hope, because Lillard and CJ and a bunch of nobodies pulled off a playoff win last year. So what I'm saying is we're going to win 82 games. The trajectory, it's just math at this point.
Law averages says the Trailblazers should win at least 96 regular season games next year.
There's only
82 regular season games.
40 some odd years into our existence, we only got one championship. Means next year we're going to win 4. So... All right, I think that does it for us today. Appreciate you all for listening. There's a Marcy Playground song that I've never heard of. That I know who Marcy Playground is, which is funny because apparently they have more than just Sex and Candy.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yeah, because they have a sex show in the morning every once in a while. They're gonna have a dating and relationships like show on Aggie, like on.
That's
92.3 FM.
92.3 KLBU.
That was good.
KLBU. I might have gotten the call sign wrong.
That was good. No, that was good. Anyway, that's what we're going to leave you to listen to. Thanks for listening. This has been You Like That Radio. I'm Logan Jones. This is
Tristan Boyce.
And he's a Laker fan. So
you're a Blazer fan. Shut your mouth.